Yes, guys, you're tuned into another episode of Cricket Talks Extra, the infrequent series of the main podcast, Cricket Talks, that's available on YouTube, the Moblox visuals, and the audio on all platforms that you're listening on right now. So this episode, I'm going to be talking about, if you guys know how this sort of Cricket Talks Extra works, it's the infrequent version where I talk about topics specifically or games specifically that I want to do solo. So in this one, I wanted to talk about Pakistan New Zealand's first T20. A series that I was going into fairly confident, despite all the media attention around it, that Pakistan were going to struggle. New Zealand's just come out of a very good beating to West Indies in the Test series. Not that that makes a massive difference, but it's definitely a contributing factor in terms of confidence, even though a lot of the players weren't actually part of it, but they can go in with a lot of recent confidence as a country, as a playing nation as a whole. Pakistan had just finished a Zimbabwe tour not long ago, where they had a pretty comfortable win of the series. They did lose one game. But going into the series, first of all, is the first thing I want to conquer, which is, what did we know going into the series? Well, first of all, we lost Fakhar Zaman due to COVID regulations. I think he had, as far as I remember, it was quite a while back before they toured. They had they were leaving and Fakhar Zaman got symptoms last minute and he couldn't make the flight. Unfortunately, missed the whole series. Now, Zaman is a person who's getting a lot of I don't know how to say it. He's getting, rightfully in a sense, a lot of bad media attention just because of the fact that he's very inconsistent right now. When he did start out his career in Pakistan, he was, well, how he has been his whole career, is an aggressive batsman from the very first ball in T20 cricket. In this case, you know, he will look to hit the ball for four. He's done it many occasions during 2017, 2018 at home. If you guys see in the Australia series, the New Zealand series, the World Series, he will strike from the first ball. And this, I guess, the temperament and the mentality of this all has all led to him losing his wicket to some very, you could say there's a trend of where he's losing his wickets now. Bowlers are sort of realising now that he's pretty much established in the Pakistan team as an opener, how to get him out, and it's sort of that good line length ball where they sort of play with the swing and get him bowled out or hit, make him sky the ball, which is sort of like a common weakness known to him now. So that's the first thing we lost. So an opener in that sense, an established sort of opener, even though his runs and form wasn't defining that. So I guess Pakistan, in a sense, well, the fans especially, a lot of the fans wouldn't have been too bothered about that, but I personally would have been. I still very much believe in Fakhar Zaman, despite the fact that I'm a Lahore Qalandars fan. I will try and avoid the bias in that, but I still very much like the player. I think an aggressive opener is something Pakistan's always had, and we always need. He's provided some very, very important knocks in places where we need it, and without those knocks, we could have lost some very, very big games. The biggest one, obviously, coming straight to your mind is 114 he scored against against India in the 2017 Champions Trophy final. He's done it several other times as well. But that's the first thing we knew. We had quite a long time to recover from that. We had quite a long time to go into the tour and, you know, develop the players, give them enough time to bat their way into the conditions to prepare for that. The other thing which we didn't have as much period of time to recover for was obviously Babar Azam's injury, which has left him to miss out the whole T20 series, hopefully not miss out any more than that. But Babar, obviously being the captain, he's a top order opener, he's arguably one of the best batsmen in the world right now, the best Pakistan batsman for sure. And we lost him a couple of days before the first game. For me, that would have, I've spoken about this on Twitter. If you're not following me on Twitter right already, it's Mobugs_. I've spoken about this already, which is, yes, it's going to be a very big contributing factor, but it's also going to be very interesting to see how the vice-captain, Shadab Khan, who's very young at the same time, can also take this captaincy role, abrupt captaincy role, and see whether it affects his performances. And we're going to get onto this in a minute, but it clearly hasn't, to be honest. But Babar Azam, it was going to be a very big contributing factor on the batting point of view, and the captaincy, not so much. I do think that the collective minds of Shadab Khan, who's been made captain, which isn't the worst decision. Yes, there are better options, but I think Shadab very much earns it after a very successful stint as Islamabad United captain in the PSL. We also had the collective minds of Mohammad Rizwan, Mohammad Hafeez and Imad Wasim, and the bowling mind of Wahab Riaz. Very experienced players overall, And I think with them, they could have come up with some very good plans to take in this very, I don't know how to say this. There's a lot of newish players on this New Zealand side. There aren't a huge amount of experience, barring Jimmy Neesham, Santner, Guptill. Santner's captain was also one big surprise to me, but we will get on to that. But Shadab Khan was made captain, Barbaraz, and we lost him. I did say he was going to be a big contributing factor, and it's going to be very interesting to see how our batting line holds up, whether they can really stand up after Barbaraz's consistent knocks. If you guys know Barbarazm, an extremely consistent player, he's known for his, great conversion rates from 30 runs onwards, for T20. He's made a name because of it. Yes, he has a lower strike rate than general batsmen, but he's very consistent, and for that I can't disagree with him. I'd rather have someone who's getting 45 or 39 than 17 or 4. So that's the first thing for me. We lost him. It was going to be very interesting to see how Pakistan covered for the openers in that, because that's technically lost two established openers. And apart from that, there wasn't a huge amount of debate around the bowlers. I do think with Fahim Ashraf coming back, yes, he hasn't had the worst and the best time since when he last made for Pakistan, but I do think his successful stints and around the county championship, the T20 Blast, sorry, in England, and he's sort of earned his way back respectfully in the Qaid-e-Azam Trophy as well, and the National T20 Cup. So I do think his place was well deserved back. I do think he's matured since his last time there. His batting was something that was a very big contributing factor towards him losing his Pakistan spot. He was very much seen as a bowling all-rounder, so we do look to him to stick with the bat at times if Pakistan does collapse, which is a common theme for Pakistan, unfortunately. But Fahim Ashraf has earned that place, and as we were going to talk about later on, he's proved his space as well. Now, New Zealand, if you look at their side, briefly, there's not a whole amount I can tell you about the established, sorry, the upcoming players in this team. We've got Devon Conway, Glenn Phillips, who's been here for a little while now, Mark Chapelman, Scott Coulhane, who's been here for a while as well, Isso, the experienced leg spinner, Jacob Duffy, and Blair Tickner. Jacob Duffy being the debutant, if I'm not wrong. Going into this game, yes, they didn't have Kane Williamson, but I would have expected that with the collection of Tim Seifert and Martin Guptill, and then Jimmy Neesham at the back end, we would have looked. They would have been pretty comfortable with their batting lineup and the overall team as a whole. I wouldn't have seen this as a very weak team in my sense at home as well. I'd say it's a very. It's not the strongest team they had. Obviously, they don't have Williamson, but it's not a bad team either. Now let's talk about Pakistan's innings as a whole. So they batted first. You had Rizwan and Abdullah Shafiq. I'll go through the lineup quickly. So you had Rizwan, Shafiq, Haider Ali, Mohammad Hafeez, Shadab Khan, Hushtul Shah, Imad Nasim, Fahim Ashraf, Wahab Riaz, Shaheen Afridi, and Harris Rauf. A fairly balanced team. Shadab Khan batting number 5 in this case as captain. Rightfully so. I think his batting's improved a huge amount recently. He's become a lot more mature, and put a price on his wicket is a term that's been used a lot, that Haider Ali's also been given. We'll talk about this quickly. Haider Ali being told to put more of a price on his wicket. He's in a very aggressive batsman, a Shahid Afridi almost, if you look back at his debut for Pakistan against England when they came over to England here. If I'm not wrong, he hit like a 6 off his third ball, which a lot of people, especially the commentators, I can speak from listening from, they're extremely surprised about, England being one of the best sides in the world right now. Hitting them for 6, and might have been Adil Rashid, and just absolutely thumped him over for long on to 6. So that was a sort of breakout moment for him where they realised, this kid isn't here to play a knock. He doesn't look nervous by any means. So the whole idea of him putting a price on his wicket, is it detrimental? Is it beneficial for him? For me, I think in a T20 format where we have Mohammad Hafeez batting 4, Barbaraz batting 1, maybe there is a need for a slightly aggressive batsman. Yes, you can put a price on your wicket, but Haider Ali being a risk-inclined player, I think it's very important if he's been like that his whole career, not to try and force something new to him. If you're looking at players who've been tried to do that as well from coaches, who else was it? Rory Burns from the England side, the test opener, was also made, you know, to groove his technique once he made the England squad because, you know, it wasn't physically appealing. But you guys saw he didn't perform after that. So I think if the kid's been playing for a while now, yes, he's extremely young, but if he has been playing his career so far with that natural, with that flair, I don't necessarily think it's the right decision to do that. Yes, you can sort of ask him to put a little bit more of a price on his wicket, but keeping the flair that you have that defines you as a player is extremely important. I think once you take that away from him, we're going to look at a very unstable, a lot more inconsistent batsman for number three in Pakistan. Haider Ali rightfully deserves number three, I think. I think they should very much try him out, keep him in there. And he's very much proved himself as well. He's got a couple 50s to his name already. So, yes, he had a poor game today. He's got, well, yesterday in this case, he's got 3 of 5. But for me, keep him as it is. It's something that we're just going to have to, he's going to have to brush off his shoulder and move on from. So let's talk about the openers quickly. Mohammad Rizwan and Abdullah Shafiq. Mohammad Rizwan, number one, is that the best option for him? Personally, I couldn't tell you. He's not the most aggressive batsman, so maybe getting him in at number one to be the sort of cover for Babar Azam, in a sense, is the right decision. There's not necessarily someone else right now who can take the gloves for him in this team. Abdullah Shafiq, if I'm not wrong, is a debutant or barely playing for Pakistan. So this was a sort of key game for him. Unfortunately, got a duck. A common problem from looking at the game was they clearly weren't prepared for the bounce. They've had this problem before after a while of playing Pakistan West Indies Cricket World Cup 2019. Ashane Thomas and Azhari Joseph, if I'm not wrong, was absolutely bumping the team out. Sheldon Cottrell and Jason Holder was also part of that team at that time as well. So they had another bounce problem where they clearly weren't being able to adapt to the game. They lost a lot of wickets to similar fashion. Jacob Duffy, hats off to him. He got his 2 wickets within the power play. He got Mohammad Hafeez later on as well, which I was extremely disappointed about. The shot Mohammad Hafeez played, if I'm not wrong, was a cross bat shot to mid on. For me, Mohammad Hafeez, you're averaging 91 in world cricket right now in T20s this year. You're one of the most successful T20 batsmen this year. You're 40 years old. You've absolutely become, you know, you've proven yourself this year. I don't know why he did what he did to come out from about a month of cricket and play a cross-bat shot to mid-on at 40 years old. For a player who's played that many years, a crossbat shot to mid-on is something you've seen from Mohammad Hafeez, but not for your first ball. It was a very foolish shot, in my opinion. It shouldn't have been played. It should have been a lot more risk-adverse, in my opinion, especially with the fact that they've lost 3 wickets in the power play. He should have been looking to build an innings and then play the shots that he did towards the end of the innings, like he did against Pakistan and like he did against England in the T20 series. So that for me was a very disappointing move. I personally love Mohammad Hafeez as a player. He's very, very dynamic. Not necessarily the best fielder, but he's very handy with the right arm off spin against the left hander. He's very consistent with that, and he's a strong anchor at the number 4 position for Pakistan. So it was sad to see that from him. So then next you had obviously Shadab Khan. A lot of pressure on him. They've lost 4 wickets in the power play. Jacob Duffy, the debutant, with 3. What did we expect from Shadab Khan? Well, I personally would have expected a mature innings. That's clearly what we got. 42 from 32. He built a bit of a partnership with with Imad Asim as well, and Hushtal Shah. For someone who's still very young, he clearly displayed a lot of captaincy skills. Did he bowl? Let's check. Yes, he bowled. He was fairly expensive. Went for 2 overs for 22 runs. But we'll go into that in a minute. 42 from 32, not a bad innings. In terms of captaincy, being able to, you know, anchor your innings after all this. So 32 balls for 42 runs, I'm not entirely disappointed at. I think I'm more disappointed with the rest of the experienced players. So we're looking at Rizwan. Rizwan, if I'm not wrong, played a similar shot. He was attacking a seamer and hit it to extra cover. And another sort of, you know, Mohammad Rizwan is not an aggressive player, so to be able to play that kind of shot was very risk inclined. I don't think it was particularly needed. If he was going to go for a riskier shot, he shouldn't have gone for that one in that case, without sounding too hypocritical myself. So I wasn't too disappointed with Shadab Khan as a whole. Hostel Shah, a fairly new player, he's proven himself a couple times. Personally, if we're looking at the game, let's see what the entire squad was. Now, from who hasn't played so far, you had Iftikhar Ahmed, Hussein Dalat, and Sarfraz Ahmed in terms of batsmen. Sarfraz, the way he is when he was captain, he had a tendency to put himself very late in the order and to put his younger players, who were a lot more risk inclined, to get the runs that were required in a short period of time, because Sarfraz generally batting six, there wasn't a huge amount of time to bat anyway, so he would rather have the likes of Hussein Dalat to bat rather than him, who was, you know, dabbing it to third man and getting one for one. So to play Hostel Shah was, I guess, wasn't the worst move. Hussein Dalat was also an option, who offers that medium pace option, and they were both left armers anyway, so as long as Hussein is fit, I don't see why he couldn't have been played as well. But we're not going to get into that too much. We're going to keep on the facts, and the facts was Hostel Shah was played well. 16 off, how much was it? 16 of 20, 80 strike rate. That's not good enough, to be honest, in my opinion. You've been here for a couple games now. I think we could slightly let it slide because it is the first game. I don't think they should technically get rid of him. There isn't a huge amount of options out there unless they swap him out for Hussein Dalat, who's been here for a while. But I'm very disappointed with the way PCB have handled Hussein Dalat. He was a very good player. Wasn't in the worst form when he was playing for Pakistan a couple years ago, and then they kind of dropped him. So I'm not happy about that. So maybe leaving him out of the tour, unless it's a win the next game, or they're confident for the next game, is something that they should do. Now, next player, Imad Wasim, 19 of 14. I'm not disappointed with that. 135 strike rate, 2 fours. He was rotating the strike. He built up a bit of a partnership with Shadab Khan. I'm not disappointed with that, especially with him being a mainline bowler as well. 19 of 14 isn't the worst result. He came out, he got out to Scott Kugelhine, and then he had Fahim Ashraf next. 31 of 18. This for me was a very big innings for him, as playing in the green top. He kind of needed this innings, to be honest. Pakistan have kind of scapegoated him for a few of his games while he was playing for Pakistan. He had a very long gap until he managed to make his space back. So for me, that was a great innings from him. I personally wanted him back in the team anyway, so it was good to see that he managed to prove his place. 31 of 18, 2 fours, 3 sixes, 172 strike rate. Definitely not disappointed with that. To play at number 8 and score 31 is a great innings from him. Should he have batted higher? No. You have Shadab Khan, Hostel Shah and Imad Wasim there, especially with Hostel being a specialist batsman who doesn't bowl. He was batting low enough anyway at 6, and he had Imad Wasim as well, so I think keep him at number 8. Next player, Wahab Riaz. For me, Wahab Riaz is, I'll compare him to Mitchell Starc in terms of batting ability. They're both players who are underrated as batsmen. They can be there to anchor in innings if very much needed, which they shouldn't be, but they're there if they're needed. They're experienced players. Pakistan has been saved by Wahab Riaz several times. If we look back to the World Cup in 2019 against Afghanistan, which I was personally had the pleasure of being at Leeds, I'm pretty sure Pakistan was on the ropes and Wahab Riaz scored a few sixes and Imad Wasim kind of took it home. He's played an incredible pivotal innings there, and he's done it before. 9 of 5 wasn't the, you know, 9 of 5, it is what it is. You can't criticise him because of it. 9 of 5, he hit a 6, he did what he could. He shouldn't be reliant from the Pakistan team to score, so nothing really to say there. Shaheen Afridi, very happy with him. Someone who didn't have the ability to bat at all when he came into his career with Pakistan, fair enough. You're 18 when you came to the team, or barely 18, so I wouldn't have expected a huge amount from you anyway, but to be able to score a 6, and he's done it a couple times where he's scored a 6 during his few balls that he was there, Very happy with that. 10 of 5, 200 strike rate. It is what it is. Final batsman was Haris Ralph. Doesn't have the ability to bat. I don't think he ever will. With Haris Ralph nature. But 0 for 1, it is what it is. So Pakistan put up 153 for 9. 6 extras, which is great. Obviously bowling from the New Zealand side. Was 153 ever a competitive score? No. In my opinion, it wasn't the greatest batting wicket, but they should have put a higher score. I think it was very disappointing from the top order. It did clearly show and prove my, or answer my question of, we'll see how reliant Babar Azam, how reliant Pakistan is on Babar Azam, and clearly extremely reliant. They looked as if they had a big gap in the top order, or Rizwan and Shafiq. They just looked awkward to watch. Haider Ali just wasn't getting in. He pretty much edged his wicket and took his wicket pretty, gave his wicket away pretty easily. Mohammad Hafeez, so was very disappointed in him. Will I see any changes for the next game? Probably not. With Sarfraz not captain anymore, and well, that's a whole other conversation, but with Sarfraz not as captain anymore, I don't expect him to be in there. Very much as a backup. I very much see him as a backup wicketkeeper to the PCB right now, unless something happens to Rizwan. Because we haven't got Abdali in the side, who can play with the gloves. So 153 wasn't a good enough score. I think with the way it turned out, they wanted 7 balls to spare. I do think 170 was a competitive score, but it is what it is. 170 wasn't scored, and we clearly got punished because of it. It looked like a very awkward innings, and Pakistan deserved what they put in. It's the reality. As much as I love them, they put in what they. They get what they put in, which was 153 for 9, an awkward innings, a loss of confidence, and that's just the way it turned out. Now, New Zealand coming into the innings, they did lose Martin Gupton pretty early. Shadab Khan, if I'm not wrong, took a great catch in the deep to get rid of Martin Gupton. So he only went for 6 of 10. He hasn't been in the greatest form recently for a while now, actually, but I personally love him as an opener. I think he's an extremely strong batsman and experienced batsman. Unless you need to force his position out of the team, force his place out of the team, I don't think it's needed. Tim Seifert, a strong player, wicketkeeper, batsman, scored his innings, 57 of 43. Incredible innings, showed a lot of confidence in it, and I was fair play, you know. 6 fours, 1 6. Again, lost. Got out to Shaheen Afridi, caught by Fahim Ashraf. Now that 57 did enough damage as it is. At this point, there were, I can't remember exactly what the score was at the wicket. By the time he got out, they were 110 for 4. So the game was in 14.4. So the game was getting slightly tighter. But with Jimmy Neesham and Mitch Santner, I would have expected New Zealand to win anyway. They're very experienced batsmen. Jimmy Neesham's taken New Zealand home quite a few times. They pretty much took him home in the World Cup 2019, which unfortunately didn't go their way. But I didn't see, whilst it did get tighter, and Haris Ralph obviously showed that after he got a few wickets, there clearly wasn't going to be that much competition. Clearly so, they won by 5 wickets. Devon Conway didn't really get much to a start. Glenn Phillips, 23 of 18, standard score. Mark Chapman, 34 of 20, both great innings. They took them closer to the game, and then Jimmy Neesham and Santner sort of finished it off, 15 of 10 and 12 of 8 respectively. And this is still with Kugelhayn, Sodhi, Duffy and Tigner, who aren't really batsmen. Sodhi isn't exactly a batsman. Kugelhayn, from what I've seen, isn't exactly a batsman. So I guess it's good for them that Santner was managed to stay not out. If you're looking at the bowling, Shaheen Afridi, 27, 2 for 27, 6.75, standard bowling innings for him. In general, you'd see it as a very impressive bowling spell, but with the way Pakistan has been with Shaheen Afridi, or well, the way Shaheen Afridi's been recently, you'd expect slightly. Actually, it's very rude to say that, to be honest. Shaheen Afridi he's doing everything you can ask for him, and a bit more. He scored 10 of 5, and he got your 2 for 27. Pakistan have any criticism to say, it should be very, very, very far away from Shaheen Afridi. Imad Haseem, 2 overs, 14 runs. That's fair play. Should he have got more overs in? Yes. That's probably Shadab Khan's letdown in this case. They did play Wahab Riaz a bit too much. He went for 45 runs of just 3.5 overs. He lost, obviously, they lost the game during his over. 11.74 economy wasn't the greatest. Wahab Riaz has had this type of innings before, but to be honest, we can't really let him go right now. Actually, it is potentially an option to keep him onto the ODIs and slightly sort of let him go for T20s. We have got Harris Ralph and Shaheen Afridi. And Fahim Ashraf is bowling a lot better. He got his 3 overs and 18 runs. Again, a good comeback from Fahim Ashraf. Did well in the field, did well with the bat, and he's done 6 and over with the ball. Harris Ralph, 7.25 and over, 3 for 29 off his 4. To be fair, despite his old cockiness in the field, the first thing is obviously he needs to become a lot more humble and very fast. It's a very much a downfall for Harris Ralph. He can get extremely cocky at times when he takes wickets, and it is one day going to bite him in the back. It hasn't yet, but it will do. So, 7.25, fair enough. The game was kind of lost. Yes, Shadab Khan himself went for 11 and over, and yes, Wahab Riaz went for 11.74, but it happens. The real loss of the game was with the bat, and the reality is the top four were very disappointing. Abdul Shafiq, we can kind of let him slide because he's a debutant, but Mohammad Rizwan 17 of 17, Haider Ali 3 of 5, and Mohammed Hafeez first ball duck. Disappointing innings from all of them. I really do expect more before tomorrow's game, which is by the time I'm recording this, the game will be tomorrow. I expect a lot more from them, to be honest. If they don't, then there's going to be some serious talks that need to be had in the PCB. A lot more about, how much are we relying on Babar Azam. There's clearly a lot at stake with Babar Azam right now. We lose him for 3 T20s, and we're going to lose by 5 wickets every game. It's going to be a very big issue. Now, going into the next game, do I expect any changes? Personally, not. I would actually say more towards the strategy side. Giving more overs to the bowlers who did well. Fahim Ashraf did bowled pretty well. Harris Ralph did okay with his 4 overs, so stick to 4 overs with him. If Imad Wasim is going for 7 and over, give him 7 and over, but it's more towards, again, Pakistan need to step up with the bat. It's clearly shown how reliant they're on Babar Azam right now. They don't have any strength really around him. Mohammed Hafeez, I expect him to step up. He's had a good year so far. I don't see why he can't finish it off. Iftikhar Ahmed, do I want to see him play next match? No. Is he an option? Yes, for Hushdul Shah. But 16 off 20, I would personally leave him on. I just really think it should be an issue with the top four. If the top four were to say, if we're looking at the scorecard, the top four put 20 between them, off 19, 20. They put 20 of 25 between them. They lost all 4 wickets in the power play, a power play which Pakistan used to be very good at capitalising on and scoring on quickly in the power play, while there is two fielders in the outfield. If that 20 of 25 were, say, to get 60 off the 6 overs or 50 off the 6 overs, suddenly we're looking at a 180 score, which is a lot more competitive, a lot more defendable for the bowlers. And then the 11.74 economy, Wahab Riaz would have first of all got a lot more confidence. Shadab Khan would have first of all got another a lot more confidence in his game and his strategy, and he wouldn't have had so much pressure to look to defend to such a low score. So that's for me the main thing. The batsmen need to step out. Once they can, the pressure will be off the bowlers. Shadab Khan himself with the new captaincy. So that's my take on the game. If you are listening to this in time, please let me know what your thoughts are on the team. Do they need any changes in the game? If you do want to let me know your thoughts, you can't really comment on these podcasts, but if you want to, you can DM me on my Twitter, which is moblogs underscore. I'm fairly active on there, so you guys can DM me your thoughts, and I'll let you guys know for the next episode of whether it's Cricket Talks or Cricket Talks Extra. I'll give you guys a little shout out and whatever, but we'll talk about it. But yeah, that was my thoughts on the Pakistan New Zealand T20 game, the first one. The second one being tomorrow early morning. I don't think I'll be able to catch it. So yeah, again, the problems, Pakistan need to step up with the bat. It's as simple as that. So I'll see you guys on the next episode of Cricket Talks Extra, and I'll see you guys soon.